That's just fucking. Oh, go, oh wait, no, that was one. Okay, yeah, no, it's zoomed in.
Let's see if I can.
All right, we'll just go on 15. Because I zoomed out so I can actually
Where's 15? I can't even see it from here.
And.
Hey, everyone. Alex here.
And Matt.
And today we're going to go over a little bit of a story time. We're going to talk about my D&D campaign.
And probably a couple of my things, too.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, the campaign setting is called Farleone. That's the name of the planet and the country.
Yeah, the main continent?
Yeah, essentially. And you play in this world.
I do.
You know?
Okay, when we can.
Yeah. We're going to come back to it. It's going to be just a couple players this time around as we try to build.
Yeah.
And you play a warlock.
I do, and his name is Darren.
And he is...
He's in trouble. He's not doing too hot. likes to stick his nose where things don't, where it doesn't belong. Really, where things don't belong. Actually, I'll go back to that.
yeah, I would agree. So, you guys started off this one. You were in a certain country, more deserty inclined, and you were there during a Colosseum day.
Yeah, we started off in a place called Ambrose?
Yes, Ambrose.
Ambrose.
And there, they were doing this Colosseum day, where you guys thought, oh, we're going to end up in the Colosseum for a fight. And then things went horribly wrong.
Yeah, no, I just want to draw attention, because I want to talk about Darren for just like 2 seconds, in okay. that this game opened up with me stealing gold in essentially hijacking a market stall to sell something to one of the other party members.
So that was your intro to the paladin of the group.
Yep, Tyriel.
By conning him.
And I said, hey, you worship this guy, his symbol is scales. You should buy these scales.
Yeah.
Should buy these. And then the other charisma-based character just did not know how to charisma at all.
And you guys also met your third companion, which was Amifrey.
Yep, the cleric who ran away from home.
Yeah, the tiefling cleric. And you guys get together. You meet up when a horrible explosion happens. And people start running for their lives.
Yeah, from something.
From something. And as you guys round a corner, you guys see zombies.
Suddenly zombies.
Lots and lots of zombies. People screaming, yelling, they're crawling out of the ground as the big bad of this game, you guys soon found out, landed in the Colosseum and opened up a huge pit that's just called the First Gate.
Yeah, just a chasm. Don't think we know that it was called the First Gate, but...
You guys did learn that.
Okay.
That was,
A passing conversation with, elf sage dude.
Yes. So, you guys were kind of corralled down the same path, and you ran into a elven, mage kind of character, and he gave you guys this small parcel, and cast a spell on you guys, and said, run.
Yeah.
And got you, like, take this, get to safety, get out.
Yeah, just leave.
As he turned to face a mob that was following you guys.
And no, that was big.
Yeah. So you interacted with your patron right there in that first part, telling you to run and jump.
Yep.
As you guys go and up the, to, like, the third story of a building, and you're trapped.
Of course, I'm the first one who's like, all right, told me to jump. Here we go.
You guys find out that the first spell was Featherfall cast on you guys massively. So you guys all fell at safety.
Yeah.
And
gently drifted down.
You guys made your way to the first town where instantly your reputation catches up to you.
Oh, God, this guy.
Oh, no. Thuggish, not very bright brute.
Yeah. Sitting down at the bar table.
Yep, and he's like, you owe me money.
Like, yeah, no, but I don't have it. The guy over there, he has it. He's got your gold. All right, why don't you go get him? Okay. Walk out the door. No problem.
So you're out the door. That guy's like, hey, wait. He goes chasing you out the door, and then as soon as he runs out, you just stroll back in.
Yeah, just go right back in.
That night, you guys are caught up by that mage. he gives you this explanation. That was what it was, me trying to give you guys the crazy powerful doodad dongle, right? First thing in the beginning of the game.
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin. And telling you how important it is. And then kind of giving you a... did you get a sense of, like, scale. This is dangerous?
A sense of scale. Yeah, I did. It was also trying to be like, I don't know what the hell this does. This is some important thing. Other people shouldn't have it. Why the hell did you give it to me?
Exactly. And that was one of the mistress stones
that
he gave you. And he explains briefly what they are and what they do, trying not to give you too much information on them. And the party didn't really... almost surprised the party, kind of just, okay, and put it in their back pocket.
Yeah.
But, I told you guys...
I mean, what else are we going to do?
No one attuned to it. Yeah. You know, it's powerful.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we put it in a back pocket. Like, what the hell else are we going to do with it?
Well...
You have this all-powerful, small black stone. Here you go.
It's not all-powerful.
Yeah.
When you get them all together, though.
Yeah. No, but so you have this thing... That dude who just leveled the city once.
Yes.
This is for you. Here you go.
You need to take care of that.
Take care of that. It's like, what the... And be like, hey, Jeff, come here. I got something for you. Like, so I need you to take this, and I need you to go here.
I think it was more that the party just forgot it was there.
Oh, yeah. It took a backseat for a little bit.
It will come up again.
The bus, as MacGuffins do.
As they do. And... you guys quickly found your way over to another town. You were trying your first things first to explain what happened to the surrounding area. So just in case this horde finds it,
that's what the paladin was trying to do.
Well, that's yeah.
And then material. I ended up doing.
And first person you meet is actually a paladin of the party's paladin's order.
Yeah, the one who trained him actually, wasn't it?
Yes, his name was Axel. And he was a member of the Merciful Sword. So, this is a group of paladins that are... their god is the god Tyr. He's the patron of justice. And the order of the Merciful Sword is the kind that will go out, seek justice, and give help to those people who are wrongdoers. Essentially, we're going to take you to rehab and get you taken care of. You know, not just toss you in jail.
Yeah, more so a Dog the Bounty Hunter as opposed to, like, a mercenary.
Yes, more than that.
I'm going to get you, I'm going to beat you up, and then I'm going to take you in. As opposed to, I'm going to get you, I'm going to beat you up, I'm going to kill you.
Exactly. So, you guys meet him.
The Batmans.
And you guys end up, first things first, fighting a group of zombies and a undead owlbear barreling through the woods.
Oh, God. that was fun. I was hiding in the bushes for like 90% of that.
Yeah, you ended up in the bushes, hiding and trying to shoot into the combat.
Yeah, that was fun.
From there, you guys help liberate a city. You find the first of the cultists to that Big Bad's organization.
Oh, yeah.
And then you take his mask.
Yep, I steal his stuff.
He's got imagine a... plague doctor mask that's more shaped to be like a raven's face mask.
More thematic.
Yeah, more thematic than functional, with tinted lenses. So the person that was wearing it, that was actually a dark elf. So the tinted lenses you get kind of helped him dealing with the sun and such. Yeah. You know, if you
I have some awesome sunglasses, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And
okay.
You guys kind of pass it off as... oh, he's a dark elf, weird necromancer kind of guy. Yeah. Okay, like, this makes sense.
I mean, at that point, we hadn't seen any cultists or really anything else that could possibly pertain to the Big Bad.
And then, from there, you guys go off to your first major city sense. And they are under siege.
Yeah, they are currently, the status is currently burning.
So, when you were there, what was, like, the first thing that happened to you guys?
First thing that happened to me and Amfrey is we end up in a battle between a bunch of guards and a cultist and a couple of acolytes.
Oh, yeah.
That, oh, God, this happened, like, last year.
It was like, last year.
I spent so long. I spent too long.
You put on the mask.
When I put on the mask, and I think I got a crit.
Yeah,
when I was trying to shoot out of a couple of the zombies, but I wanted to make it look like I was aiming for one of the guards.
Yes.
To try and fool the big cultist at the back. And I shot, like, I think I nicked his ear, but blasted out like two zombies. And then the big cultist guy was just like, oh my god, aim better. God damn it, you scrub.
So, in this city, you guys, I'm trying to find the name of the city. Because I forget the name of the city, where we were.
Begin with a B or something?
I want to say.
How many times did I write it on that whiteboard?
Oh, Barnstow was the first, that was actually the first place you guys were at.
Oh, that was where I evaded that thug.
Yes.
Who thinks I owe him 10 gold.
This is where you met Axel. And I don't.
Digging back into some of these notes that you've had for
many,
how
many
long?
Notes. I don't even want to look at the date that this was written. It's a while. But you were there, and you guys, you have a fight with the cultists, and something crazy happens to you guys in this moment, where it's starting to look grim for the two of you. The paladin went off of another group. He
went off with Axel.
Yeah, the player wasn't able to make it, so his session kind of happened separately off to the side, and you and Amphrey have issues.
Yeah, no.
Amphrey gets gutted.
Yep.
She got crit real hard, and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's right.
I killed her outright.
Like, maybe... I think she had, like, 12 HP or something like that, and you hit her for, like, 24. Like, doubled her out.
It was bad. And in that moment, I needed... All right, it's, you know, we're maybe 5 episodes into this game. I can't be losing players. My dice don't like to... they don't like to miss. So
when you're a GM.
When I'm a GM, they are player killers.
But I say, let's give Dravik a perception check.
When I'm a player, they're player killers. Just, I'm a player.
Yeah.
But you have this problem where Amphrey gets gutted. And
I'm down to like 2 or 3 HP with no spell slots.
You're a warlock with the Fey Pact.
Yes.
So in this moment, time stops around you. And you get this cutscene. I'm like, okay, Amphrey, you're, for the moment, dead. I need you to...
Stay
there for a second. Darren, everything stops. Time stops around you. And you're surrounded by wolves. You see all their eyes, and then they kind of come into focus a little bit, but never quite. And then a woman wearing emerald of ruby red hair comes out with cat eyes, and it's your patron.
Yeah.
And it's the Lenanshi.
Yeah, seen her once or twice before.
And this is the first time really seeing her, you know.
Yeah, the real out close and personal.
And she offers you, basically, I had to level you guys up in that situation. Which was mostly planned. I wasn't planning on killing a character.
Yeah.
I was planning on happening a little bit later. But I was like, you know what?
Sure.
Now is the time. The game's telling me. So... You get a quick little health boost, more HP, and you make your pact of the blade.
Yes.
So she kisses the back of your palm and leaves you in excruciating pain, and you start, you know,
you start screaming.
And as you come out of
really just screaming.
Yeah, as you come out of it, your weapon manifests, and you're able to like fight these guys off. And as you look back, Amphrey is down and out. And she actually ends up having a kind of a vision quest with her goddess that she's a cleric of, Selune. So Selune comes down, and Amphrey wakes up in a field under the stars, under the moon. And Selune tells her that her and her friends, your party, are destined for something big. Something's happening, and she can't explain it all right now. but she needs her to live, and she gifts her with an item as well, where when she wakes up, she has this crescent-bladed kind of dagger that she can cast her own version of, like a moonbeam. Yeah. Essentially, it's Eldritch Blast without any extras to it. And
she got a pretty knife.
Yep.
I got excruciating pain.
And just about any weapon that you want to conjure.
That's true.
So you guys clean up the fight. So the next session, you guys sit down, and the paladin's back. You guys meet up in the middle, where you see the big bad, and he has this older, heavyset character, looks like a cleric of a type, and he is thrown over the back of a giant raven.
Keep it the theme.
The big bad, who you can assume is, he says, take care of this, I'm leaving. As you see the paladin and his mentor come charging in.
I think I recognize the big dude as like the head cleric.
Yes, the Temple of Mystra.
Yeah.
So, what happens is you guys get into this big fight, and that player that played the paladin, he didn't get his level up previously. Yeah. So during this fight, he gets his moment, and because when paladins become level 3, they take an oath. He took the oath of vengeance when his mentor was murdered right in front of him.
Oh yeah.
He thought he beat the that big bad, the general kind of guy, and he goes to pick up the paladin off the ground.
Yep.
He was knocked prone, and as he outstretches his hand to him, a sword comes up through his chest, and he falls dead. The paladin takes up the sword, the merciful sword from his mentor, and the player went through this big monologue, claiming his oath of vengeance. After that, you guys are heralded, because when he leaves, which I can't forget, you guys get a giant monster. All those zombies, they're killed on the ground. They all form together.
They form in this giant, like, monstrosity.
So they all form into this giant zombie creature that you guys proceed to try to destroy. After beating it, the entire city is so thankful for what you've done that they end up throwing you guys a big banquet where it becomes two episodes of political intrigue.
Oh god, I loved it. Oh, I loved it so much. Nobody else did.
People have a hard time with games that you don't have to roll dice for. When it's just the political intrigue. Yeah, which is just the role play. Just back talk. And forth. And you guys met some crazy characters there.
Yeah, biggest one probably being Shale. It was at his house, after all.
Yes, so you guys met Benjamin and Shale. There were a few other big characters in there. You have Stouthammer.
Oh, yep.
Theron Stouthammer.
Yep, he's
he's a dwarven, I guess you consider him like an alchemist.
A dwarven brewer.
He's a businessman. It definitely is. You guys met Elias Darkon.
Oh, my buddy.
Yeah.
My buddy.
A very serious noble.
Sure.
Yeah. Who has some,
you know when you see the goth kid at school who calls himself a vampire, but nobody believes him? Because, I mean, you're just a goth kid. This is the person that they believe. That's the person who they're just like, yeah, no, I can see that. I can see it.
Yeah. And then you met Lady Olivia Hornan. Your character tried to get to know very well.
She tried to get to know me very well. That's... I just want to point that out real quick.
Then you had the shifty Lord Vernon Yon.
Oh, yes. Who was just so, so very nervous.
You met...
Punk.
Arnott. Which was, let's see, who was he? Oh, Arnott. That was The twins.
Oh, the Arnott twins.
Yes. And they were creepy, huh?
They were weird.
People couldn't tell half the time if they were a couple, if they were siblings, family, not family.
Are you business partners? We're partners, yes. No. That's not what I asked. Don't play these games with me.
So, yeah, they weirded out everyone who interacted with them. I feel really proud of this one because when I built out that like spider graph of who had connections to who, it was all over the place, and I was able to get through. You know, I think it was 11 characters in total, including PCs. And
Sassy Butlers. Who went from being halflings to humans, and I seem to be the only one who found a problem with that.
Well, I mean, I don't think everyone kind of caught the reasoning for it. So, that was an illusion.
Well, yeah, no shit.
But the best part is that I'm proud of is that I had all these characters, and each one of them had 3 to 5, like, different connections with other characters.
Yeah.
That created this real huge, like, clicks and having all these issues between characters. It felt, like, really good to try to betray all that and get them all out there. So
I can imagine. It did a really good job, too.
Yeah, and it went really well, even though we did cut it a little bit short. Shenanigans ensued.
You're welcome.
But you guys did, you end up kind of sinking into a couple problems after this big banquet where you get a business proposition between Olivia and Benjamin where they're both competing for you to either go and kill or go and capture this creature that's been menacing the trade routes. Also, during the banquet, someone was attacked. You had Lord Yon be attacked. And something stolen from him. And you actually had you met a character here.
I did. I met the Masked Mage.
So this is a halfling. He's wearing a chrome, no-feature, kind of sleek mask.
Burning Man mask.
Yeah. And he's wearing these black and blue armors with kind of hints of ice on them. And when you go to attack him, you go to charm him.
All right.
And he kind of just tilts his head at you like, it's not going to work.
Try something else. One more time.
But he takes something and escapes.
Yeah.
And then the next night, you guys end up talking to Lord Darkon. He wanted to speak to you guys.
Only at night.
Yeah, only at night.
Swears he's not a vampire.
He could be.
I know.
But he may not be. When you guys arrived there, the doors are... Actually, wait, I'm skipping way too far ahead. Because we had a really good situation that night when you guys got back from the party.
I was about to say.
Oh, wait, hold on, let's go back. because the paladin, who was socially awkward, was being picked up on by a lovely lady.
Lovely lady that, like, from immediately from the outset when he got to the festival. Or, not festival, now I'm stuck on Burning Man, look at me. To the banquet.
To the banquet. So she kept on kind of drive by, you know, a little bit of affection, then going, you know, disappearing. And you guys get back. You guys made friends with Theron Stouthammer. He has casks sent to your rooms.
Oh, yeah.
I think he sent everyone a cask to your rooms. You guys are getting paid for at the...
At Shale's bathhouse.
Yeah, the bathhouse, which I actually have a name.
No, I don't remember whatsoever.
It was the Whispering Sisters.
Ah, I like to think that we got casks purely because of me.
Maybe.
I was being very friendly with the man who made the big ale.
He was great. So you guys get back, and the paladin cannot hold his ale.
At all.
It's one of those fun, very classic scenes where... this woman, I think her name was Elizabeth, shows up, and she's wearing nothing but a cloak, answers the door. He already failed his constitution checks badly.
Oh, yeah, he's like already, Matt won
bad. He's seen double vision. I mean, he's gone, and she drops her robes, invites him in, and Your character's listening in from the other side.
Oh, yeah, no, I got the room on the other side.
So you're nosy.
I got a cup to the wall.
And you start to hear thumps that aren't correct.
Yeah, like, that's not right.
That's not how this goes down normally. You bust into the room, disguised yourself
as a courtesan.
And
a small Asian woman.
And this girl ends up being, Elizabeth ends up being an assassin.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a knife to his throat. Yeah. So, you interrupt this fight. You guys...
This fight. Hey, man, I don't judge.
You guys are able to tie her up and...
like I said, I don't judge.
Neutralize the situation. You find out that she's sent to kill the holder of the sword.
Yep.
So, that was just to have to have been him, but she would have been after Axel. So, you guys are kind of left with some mystery on, you know, why was he... You know, what was their contract
who
on him?
Who wanted to kill Axel?
And that's something that maybe there'd be more people sent for the sword.
Yeah.
Then we fast forward to the next day. You guys kind of did your shopping trip kind of thing.
She was gone in the morning.
She was gone.
We let her go. Yep. I think I was the one who made that call.
Made a deal with her.
Yeah, I was like, you go. I don't want to see you. We let you live. And you let us go, and we get to go do our thing.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, you want to untie me? I'm just like, no. You're an assassin. You know that you can get out of this. I have my faith in you. Bye.
So a few minutes later, you guys hear a clink against your door.
Yep.
And she leaves a little love note with a dagger. Okay. Again, another dagger. Where does she keep that?
I stopped questioning it.
And the next night, you guys go to Dargan's house.
Oh, yeah. Nobody else knows that I have that dagger and that note, though.
I love that. So...
that's my little secret.
It doesn't matter now.
It doesn't.
But you guys go to Dargan's house, and you arrive. His door is kicked in, and there's a couple dead servants laid out.
Were there people there when we got there?
Dargan's people were taking care of it.
Okay.
There was a few town guard that were posted outside.
Yeah, to make sure other people didn't go in, and then... I somehow talk through them.
So you guys sit down, and Darkon goes over how something was stolen from him. That's why he was side-eyeing and trying to get a hold of Jan the whole night, because he thinks Jan took this. And he has access to something that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah. No. Darkon didn't tell us that. Darkon told me the dangerous part.
Yes.
Because after they left, I ended up going back.
He kicked
them out down to the living room, and then I was like, I need to talk to him real quick.
Yeah, he said we're done talking, and then you guys had that moment.
Yeah.
Where he also felt like he might be someone of great magical power as well when you challenged him, and he kind of smacked you out a little bit, I guess is the best way to say it.
Hey, I cast Eldritch Blast. He was like, nah. And then he reflected back at me. I was like, okay, and I hellish rebuked. And then he was like, and then he's behind me on fire going, okay. Hang on. That's stupid.
So, you guys have that. You guys speak to both Olivia and Benjamin. You guys get your kind of marching orders there with this creature that they want you to go either kill or capture.
Do something about it.
They called it Macehead or Hammerhead.
Hammerhead.
And... you guys were thinking something completely different from what you guys found. And you get snoopy at the end of the night.
I get snoop. That's a good word for it.
And you decide to go snooping around.
Tell them to go read.
Around the docks. Around the warehouse that his family owns. And you go there. And you find your way in. You break in. Talk to him. Find it to be fishy. Yeah, you know, so you leave.
He was in a really big hurry.
You know, like quotation marks, leave. You disappear and you find your way to the back because something was happening.
Yeah.
Where you find a big old slod.
Red slod.
Red slod. So people don't know what a slod is. It's basically a human-sized frog.
It's bigger than
demon.
Human, isn't it? Isn't it like 7 feet tall?
Well, they still count as medium-sized creatures.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is a creature that when it slashes you, it has these little glands in its claws that will insert an egg if you fail a save. So,
yep.
Darren makes sound. They see him. And Jan sicks it at you.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
And this thing catches up to you fast.
Yeah.
And from there, you fight with it a little bit and scrap with it. And it claws you and knocks you out. You actually go, you get knocked out. You
become unconscious.
Death saves. And you got very lucky because it was down to next die roll decides if your character is alive or dead.
Yeah, it depends on who I come in as in the next game.
So you stabilized. And they didn't know that. But what they did do is tie some rope and rock to you and throw you off the pier. So now you're drowning.
It's just going great.
Your patron sends someone to save you.
Yep.
So you're cut free, dragged to the shore, and left there. The party eventually finds you. And you're feeling sick.
I don't feel good. I got nightmares. I got throwing up.
A new phobia of frogs and toads.
That's not good. Really makes the hat that I found later kind of sucky.
Yes. So then you guys take off. You go to find this creature. You're just like, get us out of the town now. They got a boat prepared for us with the gear we need. Let's just go in the morning.
Yeah, get out. Let's set sail. Just leave.
So you guys take basically a week-long trip where you fight various creatures. You have like a fishing competition.
Oh, that was great.
And you guys,
I ended up in the water.
You guys are starting to believe that you're going to face a beholder.
I just want to point out that the only reason I thought that is when you held up the monster manual and you started pointing at the beholder.
It was in the monster manual. The
creature's
in it.
And you eye stalks, just happened.
And I was pointing at the eye stalks.
No, you were pointing at a beholder. You may have thought that you were pointing at the eye stalks. You were just pointing at the beholder.
The eye stalks of the beholder.
Also, how am I supposed to make that differentiation?
You're not. It's supposed to get you worried. So
worried? You're not going to throw a beholder at level threes?
I would. I have, actually.
All right. Cool.
That's a different story for another day, but I did do it. They did survive. So you guys go, and you find, what are they called? Is it called a mace snail, or a...
I
forget what they're the actual
a hammer snail, something like that.
Something like that. And it's a giant snail with its eye stalks are like maces. And this thing is anti-magic. It's beating the heck out of you guys. You eventually, after like someone going down and getting healed back up, you guys defeat it.
I know this thing is oh, no, it's called a flail snail.
Flail snail, that's what it's called. And this thing, you guys save a bunch of the shell and the eye stalks, and you find that you can actually, the shell is actually really, really expensive. You guys kept a hold of that. You brought back the dead body. You didn't get the, you know, the reward that you wanted from capturing it, because it would have been much more gold.
Oh, yeah. But we got stuff.
But you guys got stuff, and you guys got a really cool item that we can make a shield out of.
Yeah.
From there, you guys are like, okay, we do need to see what's happening with Darren. You go to a cleric. You find out that you are in trouble.
I'm not doing good.
You have a very limited amount of time, and the only way to get rid of this problem, which is essentially a chest burster, because these things are, they lay a parasite in you.
Violent expulsion.
And after 3 months, it'll gestate fully. And then it will explode out of your body, leaving you instantly dead. Not only will it be a slod, but it'll be a slod, a green slod, which there are different colors.
Because I'm a spellcaster.
That get stronger, and when they feed on a spellcaster, the red slots, you're basic. You know, you're very basic, very low level
the
one.
The grunts.
The grunts. The green one has magic. It has, like, bits of your magic.
Has invisibility. I think it gets some of my magic.
More HP, it's stronger, it's a much bigger problem. Yeah. So you're going to leave the party with a huge problem. You guys pick up a contract to help Theron Stouthammer.
Yep.
You're going to basically play bodyguard for a large trip.
Bringing beer down south.
Basically going down the coast. And which is coincidentally where you need to go to meet Mama Yaga.
Yes.
Which you quickly put together is you're going to meet Baba Yaga.
That's always fun.
And she can help you. She can get rid of this thing without you dying. Yeah. And where we left off...
The question is, how do I get rid of it without her having it?
A deal needs to be struck. So, yeah. You're messing with the Fae. So, with this, you guys, you got right there before we stopped playing the campaign.
I know, I am like, I can see the house, I think.
You guys, yeah, you got to the point where you could see the house in the distance. The party was ravaged and attacked, and you guys are kind of going in there with half of all of your abilities blown. And that's where it ended. Which is a huge cliffhanger.
I know.
A real big cliffhanger.
Darren would literally be dead by now. The countryside would be ravaged.
Yeah, you guys have a small follower that you guys picked up in the meantime. This little this child who was orphaned during the big fight.
I am going to corrupt this child.
Well, we'll see, because I have to, you know, we're starting up the campaign again, we're continuing on, so I gotta figure out, are we gonna go through the Baba Yaga thing? Can I make a connection so that it starts there and have to just put in a little bit of story about what happened to the previous party?
I will trade the paladin. You can have this paladin as long as I get better.
We'll have to see how that even works.
I will give you purity and righteousness itself made flesh.
You know, she would take him, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
I'll fight him later.
Right?
Hell, I'll kick his ass right now.
So, we stop there, and we're going to start back up. And, guys, the reason why we even started podcasting, really, what it comes down to is that we just needed one more player for D&D.
Yeah.
And we needed something to do fill in between. Gap.
Yeah.
And we, like, that's why we're doing this, mainly. If you want, like, a real jokey reasoning for podcasting.
Jokey, but also, like, that is exactly why we're doing this in the first place.
So, we have another player to play. And we're getting back into it. And you've been playing a campaign in the meantime.
I've been running my little pirate game, yeah.
Which we started at level 15.
Yeah, which that and is a whole kettle of fish on itself.
So, guys,
the puns, I've got them.
I have... I have a lot of experience DMing and playing 5th edition. This is Matt's first time DMing 5th edition.
Yeah, DMing... Yeah, 5th edition. Because I DM'd for AD&D at one point, I think.
Maybe? Maybe. I don't remember.
I don't
So, and it's really among your first times being a DM or GM, because you did Shadowrun for a short period of time, too.
Yeah, Shadowrun was going really well.
Yes, but once again, it's the same kind of players who disappeared on us.
Yeah.
So...
Everyone knows those kind of players. Oh, everyone's got somebody.
It's hard to find people committed to the game. Especially our work schedules are the same. We get up and go at 3 something in the morning.
Yeah.
We get back at 3 something, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock at night, and then our nights are free. And our weekends are free. So finding people with that same kind of schedule is tough.
Does everyone we know just works at night?
Yeah, it's weird. So I'm excited because I have so much story written.
Oh, yeah.
And all I have to do is piece together the new party and where they start.
Can I just be better?
No.
Can I just be okay now?
No. we need results, and you have a week to live where we left it.
I know. Can I?
So if
I would just give her the power.
If Baba Yaga requires you to go do something, you have a very, very short time limit to do what she needs you to do to get it healed. So that's where I'm going to piece together the new player. We're going to run the game with two players and the GM, which is me. And I might throw in, we already do have a NPC in the party, which I like to kind of put the weight of the NPC on you guys when it comes to combat and such.
Yeah.
I will do the RP, and it will guide what they'll do. And I'll only contradict the player's decisions when it kind of comes down to like a meta kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where he wouldn't do that. You know he wouldn't do that. He's not going to
run away.
He
doesn't know that the guys are on the corner.
This is a kid when he stowed away and went to help you guys fight. And he had a smithing hammer and like a piece of like a door. Like,
or some shit or something.
Yeah, he was basically he's like, I'm going to arm myself up with whatever I have and I'm going to go be an adventurer too. And a little 10-year-old kid.
I can hit something with this. So, this works.
Yeah, so funny. So I built a system for him, which I'm really proud of, that you guys, through your downtime, you're training him.
Well, and the paladin was training him.
Yeah, the paladin. Well, you helped him a little bit too with some of the stats.
I was helping with dex.
Dex and charisma. And what I'm doing is you guys make dice checks, and then if you succeed, that'll, depending on how well your rolls go, it will be what die I give you. You roll that die, and you add that number to a stat block.
Yeah.
And I have it set up, so say for the first point up is 100 points. So once you guys hit 100, that stat will go up by 1 point. From there, once you guys get him to the point where he can start being a character, as soon as he meets the requirements of a class, then he can get his class.
Using the multi-classing requirements, yeah?
Yes. So like, you would need to be at least 13 of your main stat, I think, is how it works. You need to have benefits of those stats. So you guys are essentially building a new party member. You're really able to like kind of get into molding and raising this character. And as we go, I think the 5th edition... really didn't do much the way that Pathfinder and older editions did to give you guys followers and henchmen. So this is what I was trying to introduce really early without tipping the balance too much. And now that it's down to 2 players, maybe I'll increase how quickly that goes.
Can up the balance just a little bit.
Yeah.
At least until we get him to actual like character progression.
Definitely. So and then you guys could, you know, pick up more followers and people to help you. And have those guys go on adventures with you and help out.
I can't wait to start making charisma checks to get people to go with me.
Well, it's not going to be like every character, but there'll be certain characters that would definitely go and help.
Yeah.
It has to kind of, there needs to be some requirements where you're meeting these, you've helped them in some way that they're indebted to you kind of thing. So
it's not going to... go back and get that kid that I saved in the first... scene when I got my pack to the blade.
Yes.
When I jumped up the building to go save that kid.
So you're going to...
I need your child.
Essentially.
I need a young boy.
Oh my god. No. Not making those jokes. So I'm excited. And we have one more player. She's going to join the game. We were already talking about what kind of character she wants to be.
It's all in the works.
Thinking either a paladin or a warlock is what I'm seeing from her. So, 2 warlocks.
2 warlock game?
2 warlocks could be fun.
We will be so squishy.
Yeah. That's something you guys will just have to deal with. So,
I'm gonna turn the kid into a warlock.
Yeah, just a group of warlocks. That.
So many short rests. Oh my god.
All different packs. You could be all worlds the same pact. I don't care. It's my world is living, and things are happening around you regardless of if you're there to experience it or not.
Oh, yeah.
You guys decide not to go where the big thing's happening, the big thing still happens. It's not waiting for you. It's not going to, like... It'll be in process when you walk into it if you decide to stop and like, do something for 10, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not always going to walk into it just as it's happening and be at the right, perfect timing. That's not how the world works.
Yeah, no.
You might show up 10 minutes before something happens.
And get caught. Which would be ideal.
Very unaware.
Which would be ideal.
Right? Instead of coming in the last 10 minutes of it and like, oh no, half of everyone is already...
Oh no, now there's at least 5 demigods that are now just roaming around the countryside.
Exactly. And it's going to be interesting to see how you deal with this slot problem. Because you never killed that slot. Someone's still controlling it. There's still a big problem.
Oh, I know exactly who's controlling it.
Now you do, and you know how too. That's important. You took a big risk, and the reward is.
And I can disguise self at any point, so I'm just sneaking into that guy's house. I'm taking his stuff.
Maybe
that's gonna be my stuff. His stuff will soon become my stuff.
That will be definitely a session that you can pursue that, if that is something that you want to do. I think you need to focus on living first.
I feel like I need to focus on his stuff being my stuff. So,
I think
we're going to cut out that silence.
So we're at time.
we're at 44, 55.
Okay, so that's good, and that's really an awesome recap for it, because, guys, we're going to be talking about this campaign as we play it.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the main D&D games that's going to be making a recurrent appearance.
And you're
going to
get some story time from it, and you know what? I'm going to tease it now. Somewhere in the future, as we get better at this, as we get things figured out, we may be bringing this live.
It might go live. That's definitely one of the big things, because when people think of a D&D podcast, show, YouTube channel, what have you, they think live play, actual show.
Yeah. So with that, guys, a little bit of house cleaning. We have just about everything set up. We have our website, cursedicestudios.weebly.com. That's weebly.
The things you can do when you poop.
Right?
It's amazing, really.
I've set up so much on the toilet. We have the Facebook page. You can find us at any of these things at Cursed Dice Studios. Go into Facebook, search Cursed Dice Studios. You'll find our webpage. Join the page. Lots of news will be there. And Twitter is your thing. We are at C Dice Studios.
Yes. C, as in the letter C.
Yes.
Dice Studios.
We also have our Patreon set up. If you guys eventually like us enough to support us in what we do and keep the lights on, we would love to have you as supporters. Yeah. We are putting out content on that exclusive for our Patreons.
One, patrons. Two,
patrons.
We're going to, once we get a steady stream of content,
definitely
going out for just people to listen to. We're gonna try and we're gonna take it one step at a time.
Yep.
And then once we have a clear vision of how this whole process is gonna work out in our weekly schedules, that's when we're gonna start adding stuff to it.
Exactly.
It might be a little bit, but it won't be too long.
Well, as of right now, we've already committed to a newsletter on a monthly basis for $5 supporters.
Yes.
And at the $10 level, which we don't expect any supporters of that level.
Please don't do it yet. Don't do it yet.
It's live.
I don't want people to expect that of me yet.
Oh, I want them to expect everything of you.
All right, hold up. No.
Yes.
No. I'm bad at this. All right, anyways, we got to close this up. You guys have a wonderful night.
Thank you for listening.
You, sir, need breaks. Have a good one, guys.